Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. The economies of the Eurozone are facing headwinds. That's according to the European Central Bank, which is projecting growth of 1.3% next year and 1.5% in 2026. That is not a dramatic improvement on this year's outlook, and it raises questions about the overall recovery in the aftermath of COVID and the worst phase of the energy crisis. Well, my guest today led the European Central Bank from 2004 to 2011, and before that he was governor of the Bank of France. Jean-Claude Trichet is not only one of France's most esteemed economists, but also a commentator on political matters, and we hosted him here on European election night in June. Jean-Claude Trichet, welcome back to our studios.
Thank you for the invitation.
So when you heard Prime Minister Barnier's general political statement a few days ago, and he talked about respect, dialogue and listening, did you buy that, or did you think, well, France is so politically fragmented that this doesn't really mean much anymore when he says things like that?
Well, the fact that France is fragmented is absolutely obvious, of course, and the parliament is terribly divided between the extreme right and what is the Front Populaire, meaning that the Socialist Party is in the hands of the extreme left. So it's a very complicated story. I think that Barnier did all what he could precisely to be credible and to signal credibility for, I would say, the time which the parliament will let him. And we will see exactly what happens. But
I'd like us to take a listen to a soundbite of Michel Barnier. And this was really, I think, the main takeaway of his speech about the debt that France faces and what that means for future generations. Let's take a listen to him now.
The real sword of Damocles is our colossal public debt. 3,228 billion euros. And if we're not careful, it will push our country to the edge of a cliff. So I want to tell you as a first commitment that our aim is to reduce our country's deficit to 5% in 2025.
How realistic do you think are those targets, Jean-Claude Trichet?
Well, first of all, I think that it is not only realistic, but absolutely necessary, because the Prime Minister is certainly absolutely right in saying that the situation is grave and that the French government has to take it, and the French parliament have to take it very, very seriously. Only to give you three comparisons. We have the highest level of public spendings as a proportion of GDP in the euro area, and by the way, also for the industrialized world. We have also a level of deficit which will be probably much less now that decisions are likely to be taken, but which would have been, I would say, one of the worst of the euro area. And we have a level of outstanding debt, which was mentioned by the Prime Minister, which is number three in Europe, over and above the French debt outstanding, public debt outstanding. You only have Italy and Greece. So it tells a lot on the fact that things have to be taken in order very, very strongly and, I would say, resolutely.
But, of course, whether he can actually make this work will depend on whether he can get a budget through Parliament. That's really the million-dollar question, whether he's going to achieve that. Because he needs these other political groups, he needs the national rally and so forth, doesn't he?
It seems to me that there is a change in the public opinion in France and also the opinion of the political sphere, the rediscovery that we have to take very seriously into account our public finance is something which seems to me very strong. And you can see that in the editorial of a major newspaper that were more or less, I would say, laxist before. So there is a big change in the psyche of France. And from that standpoint, it seems to me that the Prime Minister is more likely today than it was maybe a fortnight ago of getting a majority or absence of censorship with a program which is now clear for next year, namely 60 billion, 20 of, and I would say in some respect it's a little bit unfortunate because we have already a level of taxation which is very high, but nevertheless 20 plus 40 billion. And it seems to me that there is a good chance that he will get what he's aiming at.
I mentioned in my introduction these projections from the ECB about very limited growth in the European economy next year and the year after next. Do you think the European Central Bank should cut interest rates soon or in the next few months?
You know, as a former president of the Central Bank, I never give any advice to my colleagues. They know better, they have all the information, and they will decide. I would only mention the fact that the market, which was considering that it was extremely unlikely that the Central Bank would decrease rates, are considering now that it might be more likely, particularly after we had the PMI figures, because the PMI figures were not good, obviously. And after a month of August, which was reasonably good, at least for the European, taking into account the context, September was bad. And composite September was below 50, 48.9, which is, of course, signaling some kind of contraction of the economy, all taken into account, including taking into account the services. So from that standpoint, there is an element which has to be taken into account, of course, by the Central Bank, as well as the good news as regards the pursuit of the inflationary, I would say, decrease, which is also something, of course, we are now below 2% as regards headline. And fortunately, and for me it's extremely important, core inflation is also going down, slowly but going down. So it means that the ECB is on the good road towards stability.
Got it. I want to ask you about these rising trade tensions between the EU and China. We've got the German Chancellor trying to kind of diffuse tensions and avoid the worst. We've got President Macron taking seemingly a much harder line on China. Which of them do you think has got it right?
Well, overall, it seems to me that the position of the European is not the position of the US, and rightly so, because we have absolutely no interest in embarking in a drama at that level. We are much more open than the US, the United States of America. We depend much more for our growth on the external trade. That being said, of course, we have to defend our interest in the best fashion possible, and there are nuances between the various European countries, taking into account the fact that they don't have exactly the same relationship with China. But it seems to me that we all agree on the fact that we should not have any dramatic break in our relationship with China. It would be a big, big mistake.
What about the breakthrough of the far right in Austria, this historic victory of the FPÖ, which has never come first in a parliamentary election as it did? What do you think this could, what kind of impact could this have on the EU as a whole?
Well, it's not the first time that we see a strong extreme right in Austria. It's part of the, I would say, political sphere in Austria, but we had the same phenomenon in many other countries, the Netherlands, France. We see the extreme right having the most important position when you have the first round of the election. And so I would say that this is something which is very important, and we observe that also in the US, obviously, when you look at populism and the strength of populism in all advanced economies. So it's a wake-up call for all of us. It means that a large part of our population are very unsatisfied, and that we have to care for them. I don't think that the solution they are offering are good ones, but we have to care.
What do you think that the solutions being offered by the mainstream parties, such as tougher border controls, is that a good solution?
Well, we certainly have to consider that practicing benign neglect as regards the difficulty to assimilate the, I would say, immigrants is a very big problem in all countries. And if the extreme right is strong in many, as we just said, in many advanced economies, it is because probably we, the center and the left, neglected, and the, I would say, the Republican right, as we say in France, namely the right which is strongly attached to democracy, all these constituencies have had a tendency to neglect the impact of the people. And so it gives a big, big avenue for the extreme right. That's clear. And we have to accept that and reflect on that and take decisions in order to change the course of action.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing all your thoughts, Jean-Claude Trichet, former governor of the European Central Bank. And in the second part of Talking Europe, we'll bring you a panel discussion with my MEPs at the European Parliament in Brussels. We'll be discussing the escalation in the Middle East and what the EU can do about it. Do stay with us.